This is writer Kyle Higgins, and you've jumped inside the pull bag, only on the Geekcast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello and welcome to the pull bag. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as always, for Radiant Black and Turtles and other things is Mr. Joe Reed. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello.
Yes, we are functioning with a can and a bunch of string is what we are functioning with, folks. And this is the 550th episode. We've got 50 episodes till 600, folks, and we are kicking it off with continuing on with Radiant Black Volume 4, which collects issues 19 through 24 of the series from Image Comics. Oh, boy.
What issue are they up to monthly right now? Oh, that's a question for the internet.
I want to say, no. I want to say something like 28.5 or 29 and 29.5. This is why we're doing Catalyst. When the next trade is Volume 5 will be the Catalyst War, which is what this trade is all leading up to and everything else. Mm-hmm. But when they did it single issue, because it's Marshall and Nathan, they needed to find a way to tell the two sides of the story. Because what they did was, actually, this happened over a year ago now, they put a vote out. Who do you want to be Radiant Black, Marshall or Nathan? So in the single issues, they have 25, 25.5, 26, 26.5, and so on and so forth. So the 26s is Nathan's story. The 26, 27, 28 is Nathan's story. The .5s, I think, is Marshall's story. Vice versa, whatever. But it's basically that's how they got away with doing both characters on their individual story paths because of them sharing the Radiant up to the end of this trade, which is a spoiler for everybody else that hasn't read it. But we always do spoilers around here, so that's how they did it in single issues, which, again, I applaud Kyle and the rest of the team over there at Image for what they have done things with this series that I've never seen done in comics before.
It's super refreshing to see how they find all of these different ways to break the fourth wall, use reader votes. Like, yeah, they've done that for a while, but like not in this way. This is deliberately kind of removing that barrier between reader and writer, and the way that the Cowl is a character in the book that has his own comic mm-hmm. and a radio show and the 3D and mm-hmm.
There's
Radiant text and you need to go flip to the back of the book to translate it. Like, that's so much fun.
Yeah. It is easily the most interesting suck you into the universe comic I have read in the past 11 years of this show.
I have a really hard time picking up books with characters that I don't know and don't relate to. Like mm-hmm. finding the indie book that I actually like is a challenge, or the new refreshing book. This is a book that I would recommend to people that are like me that don't usually pick up new characters
mm-hmm.
easily, because it is such a good job. And they've managed to make me interested in this with essentially two lead characters that I don't find all that interesting or redeemable. They're kind of bland guys, like, you know, but everything going on around them is fascinating.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And yeah, we're up to Volume 4, 2-in-1, written by Kyle Higgins. The artist is Marcelo Costa. What does this say here? Can't read it. The guest artist is Eduardo Ferragato. Z. Carlos, I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name, Carlos Eduardo, did the inking, and the colorists are Raul Angulo and Igor Monti. The color assists were done by Rod Fernandez. Letters done by Becca Carey. The editor and designer is Michael Basuto, and the production artist is Wesley Griffith. So as I said, this collects chapter 19 through 24. And we pick up pretty much where we left off with volume 3. We start in Brazil, which I love this art. This art is so good.
Yeah, I'm a fan. It holds up, and that holds up, but it
stands up to the
test. It stands up. It's interesting. It's not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's also, well, it's not Jim Lee. You know, I love Jim Lee for what he did to comics and art and that detail and the hatching, but I don't need to look at that all the time. I think his style is like the definitive comic book style. It's what we all think of because of the hatching, and that texture. But no, this is just good enough to be awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is just awesome. Let's face it. I mean, it is. And it's funny you mentioned Jim Lee, because in a couple of weeks on the show, actually in 2 weeks, well, it'll be in the past for the people that have, but episode 552 of The Pullbag is DC Comics Superman Unchained, and Ryan and I went through that, and I think that was the first time I had ever actively seen Jim Lee art not on a print or a poster, or just, I don't think I've ever read any Jim Lee books before. So that was interesting. But
when it gets like that, it's kind of, it's almost difficult to read because there's so much detail in the art. It's like, I don't want to say it's a distraction, but I would never, I don't know. Jim Lee is amazing, and I do wish I could draw like him, but sometimes, yeah. You don't need to do that all the time. And
not all the time.
This is great.
Yeah. We get to Orland. What is it? I want to make sure. Orland Park, Illinois, at a gas station. And get out of the car. Get out of the car. Okay, then. So carjackers and robbers. And here comes Radiant Black.
Tried to lift the car or stop the car and dropped it on its roof.
Yep. Okay, that was supposed to be way slower. Hey, I cushioned the inside. You guys okay?
Yeah, they're totally great. Regretting their life choices and everything. But we got to figure out how to tune up his skills.
Mm-hmm. And do you see what I see?
Yeah, it's a very Casey Jones-like mask.
I was like, wait a minute.
So as they're bouncing the powers back and forth, they're both out in the field, but he's wearing a hockey mask. Which one of them is, I don't know who's got it on, but protecting his identity while the other guy's got Radiant Black.
Let me see here. I think it's – don't mind. I literally dreamed of doing this. I think
– I know who they are. I know which one has the parent issues. I know which one's the writer and which one's the – video store clerk guy. I have them in my head, but I can't remember who's who.
I think that's
on me. That's not
anything. I think it was Nathan, and it switched to where Marshall, because when they get to the point where it's like that skyscraper gorilla scene with the exploding bananas. Now what a reference. I think that was Marshall make. So I think currently, as we're looking at this on page, whatever this is, yes, I can clearly tell you now, because Nathan has brown hair and Marshall has black hair.
Yep, because they switched didn't they?
We see Nathan's brown hair on the back of the mask where he says, also, sorry, it's like I lost my whole feel. And that would make sense. So it was Nathan that was trying to flip the car. And it went so fast because he hasn't done it in a while.
I'm going to write this down, and then I can refer to it. Come here, sketchbook. So, yeah, Nathan was the original writer guy.
Mm-hmm.
With parent issues. Yeah, yeah, I think that's what it really is that the two lead guys are the boring white dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nathan was the writer.
And Marshall was the video store.
Yeah. You know, and listeners, there's no shame in doing this kind of stuff. I'm a teacher, and I forget my students' names all the time because there's like 300 of them, right?
Right.
And I think it means something to the writers, like it means something to the students to say, I care about this so much that I'm going to write it down until I get it straight. Like, yeah. Yes, do get those names right.
And yeah, so we get that scene with them. We get a news breaking story with, for those of you just joining us, Satomi Sohn, who earlier, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced her last name, who earlier this year revealed herself to be the bank robber Radiant Red, was sentenced today in the cases centering on her string of robberies through the greater Chicagoland area. So we got Nathan and Marshall watching that on TV. And what are they talking about here? He says, I guess she felt guilty. Seemed like it. It's funny. I see stuff about her pop up online and on social, but I've never actually met her. So Nathan has never met Satomi.
Yep. Gosh, yeah. They've got to remind us, I think, with that, just so that we realize, because, yeah, we've met her.
Yeah, we've met her, and we've seen her interact with Nathan sort of when he was in the hospital. Like, she was in his room once or twice kind of thing. But, yeah, they've never actually met. Wow, that's awesome. So they do their thing, and then we get to Nathan's house with his mom. And she's guilt tripping him about the thank you cards and sending out all of those. And
oh, yeah, because he had like a Kickstarter medical bill thing.
Yep. And he looks on his computer and Radiant Red revealed by Alicia Castle. His mom comes in and checks on him again, hands on hips, and looks at literally right now. Mm-hmm. We got we see his screen with all of some of the donations thing, and then he sees something on his screen.
Satomi donated a lot of money.
Oh, right. Yep. Is that next name under Leslie Willis? Is that next name Owen something?
That's the dirtbag husband.
Yeah. I want to say yeah.
Yeah, and she I think donated it under
his name, so under his name. One would. Yeah. Okay, that works. We don't actually see the amount.
40,000. It's there.
Oh, really? Is it?
He. It looks like the husband did do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's funny to me about that panel is the name right above the Owen name.
Uh huh.
Leslie Willis. That's Livewire in DC. So cool. So we get back to Cook County, Illinois, and the jail, and we see Satomi being a prisoner, obviously, and Nathan has actually come to visit her, and they have a conversation, which I think is really, really cool. I love this conversation between them.
Yeah, she could easily get out of prison, but she's doing it because she knows it's what's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the whole line's at the bottom here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is very, very awesome. And then he actually... Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. He shows... Yeah, it wasn't on that first screen, but it is here, where he shows her the donation on his phone. That's my ex-husband.
So she turned herself in, and he had, ghosted everybody and apparently donated some money. And yes, she can kind of say she doesn't know where that money came from, but we know where that money came from.
We know where that money came from. Mm-hmm. And then we get to Marshall. Oh, Marshall. Oh, my God. Nothing throws. What does he say here? Hold on. I've been blind, but I'm going more. Nothing throws hotter than heat. The rare, never overhyped, crank that atmosphere mix and get ready to ignore your neighbor's text. You'll thank me next week. And on the computer, they're talking about the Brazilian authorities and all of that. What's going on in Brazil? What is that? From Lock and Mule. No, what are you watching? What's going on in Brazil? This is wild. There's
that big floating rock monster-looking thing that's not doing anything. It's kind of like floating there. Oh, man, like there's a couple of sci-fi movies where the alien thing floats and lands. Superman, that did it. Arrival, District 9. That's probably one of ours. We should go check it out.
Yeah. I love how he walks out and he's tap, tap, tapping next to the railroad tracks. And then all of a sudden, what is it? What's going on? Whoa, hey, can you get me to Brazil? What? I need to get to Brazil. You said it was an emergency. Hello, have you seen the news? What does that remind you of? And he's talking to Radiant Pink here. And you think it's them? I mean, whatever they were? I don't know. But if it is... Next thing you know, they're in Brazil. And again, I can't praise the art enough. The line drawing, I don't know how many people besides me sometimes complain about certain things, like specifically rain in certain... Like when I see rain in various things, it's like, oh, no, not again. Not that it's bad, but it's some movies do this to me where it's like, they want to use rain to convey that it's a sad scene or something. And I'm just like... yeah, it's very sad. It doesn't have to be raining at every funeral and every movie on every fuck TV show that has ever been.
Yep, there's a point where that iconography becomes cliche and forced. And we don't need that.
But here, I like it. I like it here that it's raining and it's showing what's going on and things like that. And
yeah, this feels more like the rain from the Two Towers when the orcs are coming up to Helm's Deep. It's that kind of miserable, it's going to get worse, kind of impending doom sort of rain. And see, I think their presence powered it up.
Oh, of course, because that's what happens with the Radiance is everywhere they go, something gets powered up or powered down or whatever. And you're absolutely right, because they even say that Radiant Pink says, what is her name? Anyway, Radiant Pink says, I guess it kind of looks like a robot spaceship. The colors in the photo looked closer, though. Because you can see it changing from what it was when they saw it on the screen to now it's got this like blue hue over it and everything else. And I absolutely love how they juxtapose. I love the juxtaposition on this scene, because you have the Radiant Black, Radiant Pink dealing with this thing, and you have Nathan and Satomi having this conversation that they're having. That is so cool to me. And then we get a giant freaking robot.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I think Nathan's coming to terms with the fact that he's been out of it, but all of these developments have happened, and now that he's awake, the things that have happened to Marshall and the rest of the Radiance, he's becoming aware of it. It's coming into his consciousness, and so he's asking her, whatever this is, there's much more to it. I'm afraid there's something coming. Do you know what I'm talking about? And she's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's where... transforms, and then we get that beautiful splash page.
Yes. See, the rain works so well here, because it adds height to the scene, because you clearly see how tall Marshall is, you clearly see how tall Radiant Pink is, and versus the robot and then the rain come. Oh man, that is a perfect scene right there.
Yep. Now, see, talking about Jim Lee earlier, I wish I could draw like this. I could draw like this.
Marcelo Costa.
All I'd ever need.
Yeah, Marcelo Costa. And yeah, absolutely. Well, we got confirmation. It's a giant goddamn robot. Stating the obvious, Marshall. And this is how chapter 19 ends, with him stating that. We see the robot's face, and then we hear Nathan say, I don't know where these radiants came from or how they ended up here, but whoever they belong to, I don't think there's any way they're going to let us keep them.
Nope.
I'm digging this. This is just so good. This is why I, even though, so yes, I did buy these single issue, and I do have them single issue, but this is why I can spend a sunny afternoon, a rainy afternoon, a snowy afternoon, a blizzard, whatever. This is why I wait for the trade, because I can read it all in once, and I can just take a whole afternoon and not do anything other than read this and just enjoy myself reading this. And then obviously I read it again for the show to make sure I have everything straight, even though we go through it during the show. Chapter 20, back in Brazil. Okay, but like...
Okay, but how do we know if it's an evil robot? As its arms turn into guns.
Yeah. I think you have your answer.
There you go.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's neat here, too, with Radiant Pink's powers are the portals, and so that's how they got to Brazil so quick. And as they're dodging these bullets, he calls for a portal. She puts it where it needs to go, and he comes out of the portal and manages to strike the robot. And so the Radiants are able to coordinate their powers really well, like he's coordinating with Nathan.
Yeah,
when they're switching the powers back and forth, they're really able to kind of make combos out of it. I wonder if that's a side effect of them as they get better with it, that they're kind of able to tune into each other. And
maybe. Maybe. No, but I absolutely love this scene. And what this reminded me of is, it actually reminds me of, even though she doesn't have she has multiple, technically the, wow, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Radiant Pink is the Spot from Spider-Man. I don't mean to say that. I don't say that to mean anything negative about it, but as I'm thinking about it, as I see Radiant Black flying through one portal and then disappearing through another, and then, you know, we eventually get to the point where they end up in the middle of the ocean somehow, and all of that, and splash, like, no, not really. And then we get this cool splash page of just, look, I wish I could tell you, but I can't. And then we get these very, like, each of them. I think it's supposed to be each of them. If I have that wrong, sorry, folks. Honey, we have to go. Dad, you're scaring me. What's happening? We weren't ready. And yeah, it is.
Radiant Yellow, kind of experiencing a few different timelines.
Yes. You're right. Absolutely.
Trying to figure out where to go. He's doing that. He's doing the Doctor Strange thing.
Yes.
Where his head's flipping all around and he's seeing all the different.
Okay. So that. All right. Got it. So that is him looking at Marshall and Nathan. And then that is him talking to his daughter. And then the other two panels here in this cool splash page are him seeing various other things. And then we see the full splash page of his head. Just him sitting in a chair. Yeah, absolutely.
Murder board of connected timelines all around him.
Yep. Chloe Sullivan would be so proud. But yeah.
You know, she turned into a wacko.
Yeah, in real life. Yeah, she did.
It's too bad.
Fortunately. And all of his conclusions lead to one thing: war.
Yep.
Attack began before much of the crowd had any idea what was in front of them. Let's see. Once again, reports coming in out of Sao Paulo, along with dozens of videos that have spread across the social media, show the appearance of Radiant Black and Radiant Pink at the obelisk moments before it, well, transformed? Question mark. We were hearing that the direct area is no longer under attack, but I guess, is he supposed to be a report?
Is he one of the Radiant podcasters?
I think he is, yeah. So, no. I want to say that, is that him talking or is that the reporter from the TV show? I can't tell because
I think that's him talking.
Patient video reports seem to show, okay, I don't know. We go back to Lockport.
Nathan's trying to get a hold of Marshall. Like, yeah. We gotta go. What's on? And they teleport themselves, Black and Pink teleport themselves right into the living room.
Yeah, of course they do. I'm at the house. Where are you? We'll be right there. They fall through the ceiling. They fall through this. That's funny as hell. The robot is still rampaging. They've got to figure this out.
Yeah, that's right. She dumped it in the ocean, and they need to figure it out. But as they're talking about it there in Illinois, it comes on shore.
I just remembered. Thank God I remembered, because I know everyone, even though we're 30 minutes into the podcast, everyone was going to come after me for not remembering. Eva is Radiant Pink's name. I just remembered that.
Hey.
So, yay.
Read her trade paperback next.
Yes, that's actually the next episode of the podcast. Okay, wow, there's a lot in there. It was weird at first, but I don't know. It feels like there's bigger things to worry about, you know? She hasn't been to existence. Ah. So the three of them have a conversation, and...
Okay. While they're here at this, looks like an Applebee's starting to order dinner, mm-hmm. that's when Nathan sees on his phone that the robot has come on shore in Wisconsin. So they were in Brazil, and she teleported it, and I just thought it was like offshore in Brazil, but no, she teleported it to Lake Michigan. Dumped it there, and now it's coming on shore.
I'm sure there are plenty other polluted things in Lake Michigan. You would know better than I would, though.
Michigan's actually pretty clean. It's Huron that you need to avoid.
There you go.
Erie. Lake Erie. Erie's the one not to go swimming in. That's the one that has all the algae blooms.
But yeah, so they have that conversation, and then they get to where the robot is, and Marshall suits up first. So is there a plan?
I don't need to translate that anymore. I know what that says.
All right. What does it say? Because I haven't translated it yet.
Radiant.
Oh, of course.
That's what it says when they transform.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So is there a plan? Yeah, we know it's waterproof. So this time we see how it does with vacuums. Let's dust bust this thing into outer space. I wonder if that will work. And I love these action shots. I love the battle here. I think that is so cool. I love how good the art is between the robot being rampagey through Wisconsin and the darkness of that to the brightness of where they are battling him now. Like, the contrast between light and dark colors for the backgrounds is amazing. So yeah, like I was saying about I just love the colors. I love it all, but just the way these colors affected me reading this, going from the light to the dark to the light to the dark and vice versa, just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it transformed at night and attacked there, and then it's just been overnight, and that color change signals that. So Radiant Pink gets it out of that city. Yep. And dumps it in the middle of a cornfield in Iowa.
Yep.
A lot less dangerous there.
Well, it's the middle of a cornfield. I mean, what do you think? They're going to run into Seth Rollins or something? But yes, middle of Iowa. And the fight continues. And holy crap. I do love that they are tag teaming Nathan and Marshall. I love how they're tag teaming with the Radiant, but that's going to stop fairly soon. I've got another idea. Be right back.
I lied. It says transform.
Yeah, it does.
Not Radiant. It says transform. Like I thought.
Oh.
No, it doesn't say that either. What the heck does it say? Trans. What's that letter? Number this is so much part? Fun. I love this part. dash dash trans. Yeah, it's a symbol. There is not that shape in the alphabet list. I think I need to. Yeah, I'm going to have to go online and print like an easier to reference sheet and then have it so I don't have to flip back and forth and then forget what I'm looking at.
I think I have it somewhere on my computer. I'll send it to you later. Didn't realize we were still trying to figure out the transform title. I don't know. So many things.
E-R-A-N-S dash dash. Just, okay, you know, what you like to do. But they, okay. So Radiant Pink teleports to the jail to get Satomi. Radiant. Like, Radiant Red, we need you. Yep. There's a big robot attacking. And she's like, I can't just leave. Seriously? Like, yeah, we kind of need you to save the world. I don't know. And Marshall and Nathan are doing the cool thing where they're going to tag team and coordinate their attacks. So that's very cool.
What just happened? Oh, man. The robot kicks the ever-living crap out of him. Holy crap.
Yeah, tried to transfer the powers, and it didn't work.
Yeah, and it didn't work, and that's when the robot was like, yup. And then we get no Radiant, huh? That's a real interesting strategy, guys.
Surprised nobody made a can't get it up joke.
Marshall probably would have if he had time. Yeah, she turns into her robot form. And she fights. Radiant Black is like, Eva, alley-oop, portal me. And they do all the portal jumping. And while Radiant Red is just destroying this thing and goes, Nathan says, I don't know, but there's got to be some answers in here somewhere. In the meantime, we should get it moved. God, can you imagine what Shift O'Reilly could do with this stuff? That portal gas was clever. Guess I'm canceling the stream tonight. Where do we start? Eva? Yeah, I know. Back to jail. Lucky. I don't know how lucky she is going back to jail, but okay. And we cut to Nathan Marshall back at one of their houses. Wild day, huh? Wild day. So that's that, and then when we get here, we get maybe they're coming, you know. What then? We took this one down. We can do it again. Right? I don't think we have a choice.
Yeah, this I think that ends up being Radiant Yellow's.
Mm-hmm.
Garage. Yes.
It could be.
Should we give this to the military, to the FBI or something?
Yeah.
Can we just drop it off at NASA? I think if they're not talking about that now, they talk about that in the next episode. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, that was a good one. Speaking of various places, we start off with Arlington, Virginia. And we start off with cubicles, look like office space kind of things. And yeah, hey, I think I've got an idea. And we cut back to Nathan and Marshall. Okay, but I still don't understand why we aren't just taking it to NASA. Space is literally their job, and they do robots. Right, and do you know anyone at NASA? Dude, they got a website. And we're Radiant Black. Okay, so just play that out for a second. Radiant Black sends an email to NASA. Mm-hmm. That's not going to work. Oh, boy. So they're still trying to figure out what to do with the robot, and the police show up. The police officers from earlier.
This is the two that have been harassing them since the beginning and got hung out to dry a couple times.
Yep. You guys know a restaurant is a tricky concept for you all, but we're standing right here. Maybe you got that slop out of your ears.
Hey, it's a pig joke. So original.
Yeah. You're right, we don't. Sorry, what's going on now? District commanders have been putting the word out. Feds are looking to talk to Radiant Black. About the robot, don't know. There's been a whole lot of weird stuff since these black holes showed up. There it is. There's the blackmail. Marshall, stop. Can you guys set up a meeting? So they go and they do this meeting thing and...
This gets really funny for me because they're talking about going to the FBI, to the CIA, mm-hmm. to NASA, with this robot stuff. Like, how do we handle this? We need to go to the government. And right. the person that comes to them from the government works for the United States Postal Service. Well, that's because the first time we contacted it, he was sending that weaponry through the mail, and that's mail fraud. So we're the ones who are handling it.
That's right.
Like, everybody pushed it off down the chain until it got to these guys.
It's kind of like Western Union in Back to the Future. Back to the Future Part 2.
We had a bet on whether you guys would actually be here.
Yep, exactly. It's very much like that. And he goes, so the guy goes on to say, are you kidding? USPS enforces more than 200 federal laws. Our postal inspectors work tirelessly to protect the mail and build detailed cases against anyone who misuses it. Plus, taking on y'all unlocks defense spending. Congratulations, you just saved the mail. Also, we really want him. And it's a picture of Shift. So Nathan and Marshall are looking at the robot parts in the garage thing here, and bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang, bang is... It's Wendell. That's what I thought. Yep.
Okay, I got it figured out now.
What? Oh!
It says when he puts out, black hole appears and he grabs it, it says transform. Like, I thought it said radiant because it was shorter. But when they were using it earlier, it was trans --, because it wasn't jumping, it wasn't transferring back and forth as quickly as it should.
Right.
So, like, that's, oh my gosh, it's so much fun. Oh man, by the end of this I'm going to be able to read the stuff without having to translate it.
Read Radiant, absolutely. Learn the Radiant language, folks. I actually have physical versions of that alpha. There's something I had when they had, it was a couple years ago now, you could buy a Radiant Black box and it came with a whole bunch of stuff, and one of the things it came with was a card, like one of the little card pamphlets you have for whatever. Like, it's similar to like a convention program pamphlet. It has the entirety of the Radiant alphabet in it. And it's, very, very cool. Again, what they've done with this series, all the different things, and there's so much we have to talk about after we talk about the comic, because they had a panel at C2E2 this year,
ooh.
I think. Yeah, and they announced a whole bunch of stuff. So Wendell shows up. Wendell's like, oh, I didn't come to just talk to you. And we get Radiant going back out again. Huh, important? I don't know. It's JJ. Her boss really does want to talk about my short story for TV. Oh, this is Nathan and Marshall, they're talking about the whole JJ boss thing. I gotta say, folks, this is where I didn't check out of the comic, but as they are discussing this flying through the air, Marshall loses the radiant power. They're both free falling. What are you doing? The power's cut out. and they almost fall to their doom. But Nathan figures it out and gets it up. Ha, huh, I made the joke. There we go. holy shit, that. How did you do that? I don't know. But yeah, the whole thing about Nathan wanting to go back to L.A. and back to J.J. and her boss and just,
Yeah, he's like, one of the reasons that I don't enjoy Nathan so much is that he is, I don't know if this is the right word, he's a bit whiny. Like, he's not sure what he wants. He wants it, but he doesn't. He thinks he's a writer, but he's not very good at it, or he says he's not very good. And somebody tells him he's good, but then he says, no, I'm not gonna. It's a bit wishy-washy. And so I've been led to not caring whether he goes back to L.A. or not.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that the point of that and the wishy-washiness is to give Nathan and Marshall a reason to be drifting apart, or...
Yeah,
like they need to get the Radiance sorted out because they're not going to be able to share it forever.
Mm-hmm. And we get them with a fight with Shift. So Shift shows up. We get that whole battle, which is awesome. And they are continuing to switch back and forth, back and forth.
And yeah, I think this was where it was going really good.
Yeah, it was. And then we get, so after they, what happens with Shift here?
They do some tricky teleporting around,
gets knocked out,
and then they tie him up and call the United States Postal Service.
Yep. And then they get back to Wendell, and Wendell is talking about how, oh, and you can go to L.A. That doesn't affect this in any way. You can read the phone on the trip. You have the phone, right? Yes. Holy shit, you stole Shift's phone? Yes. Fuck you, post office. Marshall. Wendell says 1248-1248. That's never not going to be weird. This is good. This can help us. Time to read up. What are you looking for? What I just said. Answers. And then the robot says something that I can't read to end the issue.
Give me a minute.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm actually online looking for that Radiant Black Box. Thank you, Mike. I need to find something.
I don't know if it's still available or not.
eBay, maybe. We'll find out. But, what issue is the 2022? Nathan's on his way out to LA to go see if they want to buy his story.
Yeah. And,
yeah. Marshall and Wendell are working with the robot trying to get it figured out.
I don't know what it is, folks, but I find all of these people, every single one of them, fake.
Yeah, I think it's that L.A.
I know that's the point of it, but like, that's why I don't like this. I don't like that Nathan wants to go. Like, okay, if you're a writer, dude, go anywhere else. You don't have to have your story be made into a screenplay or a script for a TV show or a movie or whatever. Be a writer, write novels, do this, do that. Mm-mm. And every time Braden speaks, I want to punch him in the mouth. Every single time.
He's exactly one of those schmarmy.
Yep.
Three buttons undone.
Yep. And JJ, oh, no. Mm-mm. She is all kinds of trouble. So we get back to Marshall. Oh, no, this is Nathan.
He got smashed at the party.
Yep.
And then is waking up destroyed. This schmirmy LA guy is dating his ex.
Yep, Brayden is dating JJ. And yeah, no. I would not be in that situation. I would not be caught dead going back to that. So he finally gets Marshall on the phone, and I love Marshall's line here. Just scope the place out first and keep me on the line, and if there are any goons, take them out one at a time, Metal Gear style. Can you find a cardboard box? Hell yes. I love the Metal Gear Solid reference.
Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Love Marshall. Yeah, that's exactly what I'll... Oh, boy.
Nathan goes out for an evening out in L.A., and he FaceTimes Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Says, oh, you're using the powers? I was going to fly to Jewel and get some beer and moose tracks. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get the Radiant going. I guess that makes sense.
Yep. And that's just like Marshall flying to Jewel on with the Radiant for beer and moose tracks. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's exactly what those powers are for.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. I kind of checked out with the whole LA thing, really. I just did. I think the greatest thing about this was where he sighs in the cab or the Uber or whatever. So are you leaving home or going home? I'm going home. So we end this one with anything. So he's talking to Marshall again. Anything with Wendell? He's been in the garage for like 6 hours straight. I went in there to check, but he was doing something freaky head thing a lot. I bailed. Okay, we're taking off. I'll stop by in the morning and we can go over it all. Hell yeah. Can't wait to get you back. Safe flight. And we end with Nathan saying, fuck, I need to move back to LA. No, you don't.
Do you, though?
No, you don't. Stop it. Reading issue 22, chapter 22, whatever you want to call it, I just feel like... So the tagline, the opening thing for when they were advertising this series was, guy went out to LA, tried to make it as a writer, tried to make it in Hollywood, got all kinds of debt piled up, had to move back home. The whole point was LA is this big badass town. And where he's moving back to is Lockport, Illinois, which is just outside of it's not in Chicago proper. It's like Gurnee or what else is up there? Gurnee and Lake Forest, even though Lake Forest is kind of a rich side of whatever. But the point is, it's a separate city inside Illinois. It's a separate town. And I just no, Nathan, you don't have to move back to LA.
Yeah, there's something. Yeah, it's why I've had a hard time like caring about these two. Is like he doesn't know what he wants. He was miserable the whole time he was there.
Yeah,
and he doesn't like any of those people, but he needs to move back. Like what? And I know it's not that it's unrealistic. It's not that it's unlikely. It's just that Nathan he's a confused individual. He doesn't know what he wants and.
Yeah, he's
frustrating me.
And
yes.
We have to, yeah. And I know we're going to get to it, folks. And I know we'll get to it next time we end up covering Radiant Black when we get to Volume 5, Catalyst War. But I can't wait until we find out or until, you know, whatever with who actually gets the Radiant. And honestly, at this point, if Nathan is going to move back to L.A., Marshall should get it.
Yep.
Because Nathan wants to go on this path that has nothing to do with these powers. And I don't, man. And at first, in the beginning, I loved Nathan. The first two trades, absolutely loved him. And now there's this.
Ever since he woke up from that coma.
Yeah.
And I didn't like Marshall in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But after he got the Radiant and learned a little bit of responsibility for it and realized that he enjoys being the superhero, he's growing into a character that I enjoy more.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But he's still, you know, a lazy clerk who wants to use the powers to go get beer from the Jewel down the street. So,
well, true. Still. But I mean, I would rather deal with that one negative trait than a moron that wants to go back into a situation that he should never go back into.
Yeah,
working with or for his ex and her boss and Braden, and too much damn drama.
Yep,
just way too much damn drama. So we start issue 23 off with and in Lockport in the garage, and it's Wendell working on stuff.
He's going to hack that robot.
He is definitely going to hack that robot.
And this is where I had a seizure flipping back and forth.
Yep.
What I figured is that the robot is trying to connect to a network because it was a scout, and Wendell has prevented that. Says, hey, yeah. Nobody here but me.
Yeah,
and so the robot instead connects to Wendell.
yeah, that was yikes. Oh boy, I do love the visual of it, but dang, that's a little rough. And if you're going to go to Circle Guy News and talk to those guys, wear the whole suit. Don't just wear the damn helmet.
It's a casual meeting.
Just don't.
Mm-mm. I bet I could make that helmet.
Oh, they made it.
Dang it.
Yeah, they did. They made Radiant Black helmets. They're out there. There was this whole thing. So, and I love how Circle Guy News, we know it's you, Marshall. I'm sorry, Marshall? Okay, guys. See, what's happening here? Maybe we should have started with your ideas and, don't worry about who, whatever. And Marshall comes up behind him. And the Circle Guy News are like, yeah, whatever. We didn't want the paperwork anyway. So you got Marshall and Nathan pay to play, and that's not what that means. Whatever. None of it even matters. If the robots make it here, I doubt they'll give a shit about FICO scores. I don't think it hurts to think about the future a bit, how to get ourselves ahead. Famous last words. Hey, if you really want to go fix your debt, we should just convince the post office to overnight us a money order to go round up all the weapons Shift was selling. That would be a payday. And they open up the garage to Wendell, and Wendell is being controlled by the robot, and he's having a seizure. It's the powers. Look out. I've got you.
Interesting that they pull him out of the suit.
Yeah.
Out of, I don't know what, but.
Well, so let's see here. Yeah. So he's in his radiant yellow suit, but the robot has him, is in control of him. So maybe some. I don't know how they pulled him out of his suit. That he just transforms back into Wendell.
Yeah, or it deactivates as they're pulling him.
Yeah, in. Yeah. And we get to another. Is it the same robot or is this a different one?
This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six of them coming, probably more.
Right. Yeah. Because
he used Wendell as the transmitter.
Right. Gotcha. Yep.
They're all connected.
Yep. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them. Holy crud. Wendell, I can't. Orson, stop. Love to have the Orson. No! Nope.
Oh, no, the dog.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's... I thought it was an Orson Welles joke. Right, that's what his dog's name is. The powers aren't holding. Give me the radiant. Give me the fucking radiant. do it. And Marshall gets Radiant. They get an explosion. And they all fall down.
He's Marshall's upgraded.
Wendell, where is Marshall? Yeah, Marshall is definitely upgraded. Marshall is, yep, he's got his cape and everything now.
Have we seen this form before?
We've seen the cape once or twice. I want to say, oh, there's Orson right there. I want to say
either saved him or brought him back.
Yep. I want to say it was in the first trade we kind of saw the cape form.
Probably.
But we haven't seen it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably in the Dreamscape existence. I bet.
Maybe. No. I think it was done in real life. I think it was done in real life. But as we go through here, even the police are trying to fight the robot and all that, and it's not maybe going so well. The robot says something to Marshall, and Marshall says, "More. You have to work."
Oh, yeah. So he's destroyed a few of the robots, but then it looks like the power is starting to shut down on him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right as he's about to get shot.
Yep.
But kaboom.
Yep.
Yeah, Marshall and, not Marshall, Nathan and...
Wendell.
Wendell. Crash a school bus into it. So it does not, in fact.
Yep.
Shoot Nathan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and these are just the scouts that were the closest, that there's a lot more coming.
Yep. And the Radiant is glitching out bad. And yeah, this, man, this story is just so good. Absolutely love it. We end on them talking to the other guy. Who's the other guy? I forget off the top of my head. Who the hell are they seeing here? The 001 guy.
That's the robot in existence. This is the ship that he came there in. He says,
"Yep."
Former home of someone who was involved with the recovery of the ship. He's dead, but no one's found the ship yet.
Yep.
And so, yeah, they're asking 001 that the powers are broken. They can barely transform.
Mm-hmm. Then I welcome you back to existence. And I love that it just ends on a black panel, like that lower, that final black, like literally looking at it in the guided view on Kindle Comics, my entire phone screen is literally black. It's like my phone is turned off, even though it isn't. It's wild. It is so wild seeing that. And then we get to chapter 24, Return to Existence. Now, I'm not mistaken, this, I can't do it now because I don't have the physical I have the physical copy, but I think it's in the closet somewhere. So issue 10 and issue 24 are both black light issues. So
I know I bought one of those singles, if not both of them, and I have no idea where they are now. They are in my pile to be sorted, but I wonder if the trades are black light. The colors are extreme, but they look kind of like 1990s. I just discovered Photoshop digital coloring extreme. They don't look neon. They don't look like they used the special ink.
If they did or not. And
maybe not in the trade.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I would assume that they would, keep it all. Like, they're just, I don't know though. I could be wrong.
I mean, I have a black light. I'll go find out later.
I don't think this is going to work, but I can find out right now if it's on the digital. No, it's not going to work on my phone. Duh, dumbass. I have a black light right here because I have a bunch of Funko black light products now.
I hear a lot of resin with mine.
So they are back in existence, and this is just a flurry of images. And yeah. Okay, Marshall, I'll help you. And it's him and Nathan. And these colors on them kind of remind me of the time that in the Transformers cartoon, the Generation 1 cartoon, where Hot Rod and or Rodimus Prime and Ultra Magnus and Cyclonus and all of them end up in this alternate dimension thing in season 3. Mm-hmm. And they basically are all like variations on their colors. And this so reminds me, like, literally Nathan looks like a black light version of Rodimus Prime here right now.
Yeah, the colors are almost nonsensical, but pop vivid. You can see where everything is. And I also notice that the black line is not a black line here. I mean, it is on the characters sometimes, but the line work is typically lighter than the color that the object is, or the, and so it just does some interesting, awesome things. And it's, this is what Radiant Black, the series, does so well, is that they do things in unconventional ways. Like, yes, we can do digital coloring. Yes, we can make lighting glow by softening the black line, but they're unafraid of doing anything. And so, like, the black lines are now yellow lines and light blue lines and pink lines, whatever it needs to be. And it doesn't take any more effort to do that than it does to make it a black line. You click it and substitute color, but they're doing it to convey this whole story, this whole setting. And that's just one of the ways that they knock on that fourth wall that makes it so interesting, both within the comic
and
outside for us. Like, this tells you that it's a different place.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It does. And I love the panel where Nathan asks, what's this all about? Look at the way his face is drawn. Like, you were talking, I know when you say the black line, the yellow, you're talking about the outlines of the panels and stuff. I understand that. But look, like, it looks like he looks like the man without a face or something. Like, he looks like the left side of his face is going to fall off. Or it looks like there's something attached to him or something. And yeah, now that I'm saying that, it looks like he has goop all over his face. So they're trying to figure out why they always want the truth and everything. And, oh, Nathan, I don't want your lousy confessions. I want you to open your eyes and admit that you failed. You failed as a hero. You failed as a friend. All you've ever done is fail. Fail, fail, fail.
Oh, golly. And it's very difficult for, I think, you and I to stay on the same page just because of how wackadoo it is. And then I turn the page to this radial symmetrical, I can't say it. It's a big circle. And to read everything, you have to turn the comic in your hands.
Oh, yeah.
This is another. I love that. I love that. It's such a novel way.
Yeah, this is why. Yeah, you're talking about the page where it's like, get off. Yeah, there are so many cut. And you're talking about panel lines. Like, black with the neon pink around the panel lines and all of this. Like, just, wow.
And they're outlined in white. How often do you get to do that? That would never show up anywhere else.
Nope.
So cool. Yep. I think I have to write a letter to these guys. I really do. I think it's time.
Cool.
I've been impressed.
Absolutely. And, I love that giant splash panel page. Mm-hmm. That is so cool.
Daddy needs to go get his black light. I'll do that later. They're going deeper and deeper into existence. Looking for truth. They were given guns to fight these weird monsters that they're going to find down there. Oh man, now it looks like they're underwater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've traveled so far. Yeah, but they are traveling into the inner circle of the Radiant here. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going into the furthest point of existence. And then we have this whole thing. Uh, we had last time in issue 10 where that goes all black and white and pink with Nathan and Marshall. And why won't you tell him? This is what happens now. What it wants. Why won't you tell him? Isn't about me. There is only one truth in existence. I think I need to move back to try again in Los Angeles. Things are different now. I am not who I was before. I know, I could tell, the second you got back, but that's something we can work out. The robot will get these powers fixed, and we can... There is only truth in existence. It's not just that. I'm scared of what you can do with the Radiant. Why? There's only truth in existence. Yeah. I want to move back to LA, and I want to take the Radiant with me because I'm scared that you'll hurt people. And even though it's black and white, just the look of hurt on Marshall's face that you see. I don't want to hurt people. I just want to help my friends. And I want to do something meaningful, too. So they have this whole conversation. And then we see the two of them with the Radiant in front of them. And they both enter it. And the giant, or the elder here asks them, do you have it? Existence demands truth. You must reconcile whatever that may be. There is too much at stake. I have made enough repairs to the Colossal. It is time.
Okay, so that elder guy was repairing the robot in existence, and now he summoned the Radiant and used it to power him up.
Yep.
I remember now.
And the robot says, you are caught between conflict and ideology. You're caught between conflict, new ideology and old. Says, your world now faces peril, a catastrophic challenge. And Nathan asks him, what are you saying? Robot says, only one of you can continue as Radiant Black.
Yep, they cannot share those powers.
Mm-hmm. You it must just decide. Won't work. Yep, no, because only one was meant to.
Yep, that's a really neat concept that the one holding the Radiant goes into a coma, which might as well be death, and the power abandons him, but does it? It's still connected to him because he hasn't died, and it's a neat thing to watch happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then here's this moment where Marshall might be getting redeemed, and maybe this is what character arcs are all about. It's like he says, I want to do good. I want to do better. And Nathan does ask him, do you really, or are you just Nathan by nature, kind of implying? I know who I'd vote for if it were a year ago.
Yeah. Absolutely. Radiant Black Volume 4, 2-in-1. I dig it. I think it's great. I think it's cool. I think it's interesting.
I hope that this takes off like other new characters or other new properties. We get so many reboots and rehashes and transformations, but we don't often get something new that's as good as something.
Yeah.
So I would like to see Radiant Black take off. I'd like to see a TV series, a movie, action figures, a cartoon. And then to keep the spirit of Radiant Black where it's constantly involving the viewer or the reader in different ways. You know, you're calling in on the phone to do a live vote to see what comes next in the show. Or I hope it takes off. Because it deserves it. It's interesting and it's fresh. Well,
I think it has taken off because ever since it launched in 2021, I mean, it's been 3 years since it launched. And everybody that I talk to or everybody that knows about it or that even people that don't know about it that I say to read it, they're all like, oh, my God, this is great. And I've mentioned various things like the Radiant Black Box and other things that they've done and whatever else.
You know, there are only 130 of those.
Mm-hmm. And I have one of them.
And that is very cool.
If you want to drive to Indiana, I'll give you the bath bomb because I'll never use it. I don't have a bathtub.
I have a really sucky bathtub. I wealthy people have one that a guy like me could actually lay down in. So like, I'll bath salt my feet with it or something. But yeah, I wanted to take off. You're the only person that I've ever heard mention it, and I've asked for it at my. When I get good trade paperbacks like this, I get it from one of the stores that I don't usually go to, and I know the guy there really well. And if I pick something out and he likes it, he'll usually tell me about it, and we'll start a conversation. He hasn't mentioned Radiant Black, which I think maybe now it's going to be my job to go mention it to him and say, this is actually really good.
Yeah. So what would you rate volume 4, 0 to 5?
I really need to think about how I rate things. I definitely can say that this is a series that I would not have usually picked up, but when I read it, I'm thoroughly entertained. Even watching these characters that I don't like that much, it's not that it's unpleasant. It's that they're not likable characters, and I think they're going to learn, and I think that's part of the wonderful storytelling, is that they're going to make me care about these guys. It's just going to take a while. They're not going to do it in an issue or two and change them, and the fact that I care about that means that it should be a 5. Like, I'm invested in this.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There is, in issue 19 through 24, yeah, I kind of check out from Nathan's LA thing, but that's just, I don't know.
We think he's making the wrong decision in that, and I think that's why I check out. We're checked out because these are not likable characters out there. And then we dislike Nathan more because he's choosing them over, you know, his home where he has people that actually care about him, not like the fake LA care.
Yeah, I think Nathan is a character to care about, especially in the first, I would say the first trade, the first 6 issues when he was at home, he had to come back home. Mm-hmm. I still will say that Radiant Black issue 3 is one of the coolest comics ever. That was writing day, and how that they did the whole thing of back and forth with everything with the writing and all that. I love that. I got to take a 0.5 off for the fake LA stuff. I know that's what it's supposed to be, but I can't in good conscience give this a full 5 and ignore the fact that I don't like that part of the story. So I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Valid.
All right, folks, we are going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff, and we will come back to close the show right after this.
Hey, Jared, I have this idea for a new show for the network.
What is it?
You know how I liked the 1990s comic book series, The New Warriors?
Yes. Yep.
And you know how at the Long Boss Crusade we're trying to get the YouTube channel going?
Also correct.
Well, thanks. So, how about you and me do a live stream show about The New Warriors? You've never read the books before, and I have them, and so that's a great setup. We can give it a catchy name, like Come Out to Play. Don't you think that's the greatest idea?
Sure, Delvin, that's a great idea. Just one question.
Yeah?
Why do you have me dangling off this ledge, holding me by only one arm?
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll get it soon, I hope. Come Out to Play, a New Warriors podcast, comes to you live on YouTube every second Tuesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Long Box Crusade channel. If you can't watch it there, we replay them on the Long Box Crusade Network podcast feed, available anywhere podcasts can be found. We invite you to come along for the ride, or in other words, New Warriors, come out to play, yay!
Hi everyone, I'm here to tell you about the DC Comics News Podcast, here every week to talk everything DC, movies, TV, comics, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it, here are a couple of our sponsors. Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast,
It's audio justice.
No. It's audio chaos. These wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Regardless, you can catch us on every kind of podcast platform. Apple Podcasts.
Google Play.
Spotify.
Stitcher.
And everywhere you find great podcasts. So, can I go now?
Let him go. He did everything you asked.
No.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes. Definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms for The Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
All right, folks. We are back here inside the Pullbag, the 550th episode. Holy crap. 11 years, 550 episodes. Who'd have thunk it? But we have a ton of Radiant Black news that came out of C2E2 this year because, obviously, C2E2 Chicago, Kyle Higgins is from Chicago and everything else. So coming this October, the Radiant Black Massive Edition Book 1, an oversized hardcover collecting the first year of Radiant Black with brand new cover by Marcelo Costa. I will share that cover with you later, but it looks amazing. In addition to featuring some new art updates, including revised colors on issue 11, this collection, the first year of Radiant Black, features some of the craziest back matter I've ever been a part of. A quick rundown. 10 pages of concept art, the original Radiant color lineup, all of Marcelo's issue 10 layouts, issue 10 was the black light issue, quotes from Mo and Fracking Bath Bombs, who made all of the Radiant bath bombs, a breakdown of Circle Guy news, full storyboards and key art from the launch trailer, which the launch trailer was amazing, a discussion of Sam Ewing's original score, the rules for how the Radiant alphabet is constructed. Ooh. That's awesome. Yeah, you're going to want to pick this up. I know you're going to want to pick this up just for that alone. All of this is supported by over 5,000 words of brand new interviews with myself, Kyle, Marcelo, Eduardo, Igor, Becca, and a whole bunch of other people who made the first year of Radiant Black happen. In total, it comes in at 456 pages and includes almost 40 pages of back matter. Plus, we're including the original pitch for Vanguard, the series concept that led directly to Radiant Black.
Awesome.
And they show that off. I'll forward you this email so you can see this stuff, but... full disclosure, we don't know if we're going to be able to do more hardcovers beyond book one. We very much want to, but so much of that depends on the order numbers for volume one. So if something like the above sounds up your alley, then please, 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 please pre-order this book with your local comic store as soon as it hit its previews next month. Now, this was May 10th, so yeah, in June is when when this will hit previews. Next up, Rogue Son. While Ryan Parrott and Abel weren't able to join us in Chicago this year, we still brought some sneak peeks of next week's Wild issue 19. I have not gotten into Rogue Son, so I don't know what's going on with that at all. I need to get into that book because I want to read all the Massiverse stuff, but I have no clue on that. And I'm trying to scroll as fast as I can here. They're doing another Super Massive, which the entire Massiverse collides into that. BNC covers for Super Massive. Very cool, very cool. Coming up next. Okay, hey. Oh, hey, Cowl. Now, that's a fun take on the logo after all, it's Cowl's 10-year anniversary this month. Yeah, May of 2014 is when Cowl came out. And,
wow.
I wonder what that could mean. Yeah, Cowl was awesome. There we go. Coming in early 2025, the Cowl Compendium. This edition collects all 11 issues of the original series, including new pages of remastered art by Rod Rice, plus never-before-collected issue 6 with art by Elsa Charioteer. Our first U.S. work. But why 2025? Because this collection also includes, dun-dun-dun, Cowl 1964, a brand new 3-issue miniseries reuniting myself, Kyle Higgins, Alex Siegel, and Ron Rice to complete the storyline of the original Cowl series. The first issue is out this August. Take a look at some early pages by Ron. How great are these? Cowl was super cool. It was real. You should try that. It was good. We've already covered the first two volumes on the podcast in the past, but yeah, it was really cool. Coming next year also for Cowl. So what I love about Kyle Higgins and the people at Image and what they're doing with this Massiverse stuff is all the different things they've done. So Radiant Black has a soundtrack score by Sam Ewing. The Cowl has the Cowl Sessions by Joe Clark. I have that on digital, but next year they are releasing it in vinyl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. For the first time ever, we will be releasing Joe Clark's incredible in-universe album, The Cowl Sessions, on vinyl. This will be released through Black Market Narrative and Image Comics. More info on that later this year. Finally, I can record that audio later. Finally, to wrap up the panel, we had one more big announcement, but to help us make it, we enlisted some friends, or should I say, they reached out to us to give us their unsolicited opinion on everything happening with Nathan and Marshall in the Catalyst War. And boy, oh boy, do they have some opinions. So what happened was Will Friedle and Ryder Strong recorded a video. Will is the voice of Marshall, and Ryder is the voice of Nathan. Yep, that's right. We're making an audiobook. But not just any audiobook. This is going to feature a full voice cast headlined by Ryder Strong and Will Friedle, who is reprising his role from our big in-universe Versus film in 2022. I'm going to be writing, directing, and narrating the book. This is Kyle talking. And the man, oh man, do we have some fun surprises in store for you, listeners. More info and cast announcements will be dropping in the coming months, but for now, take a look at this gorgeous album art that Michael has put together. So yeah, the first volume one, Radiant Black, the audiobook. I cannot wait for that. That is going to be so cool. So yeah, that's what's going on with the Massiverse and all that. So
yeah, audiobook. Oh
yeah, it's going to be so fun. So much fun.
Yeah, it's another way for them to multimedia it out.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, they did the short film Versus, the short animated film Versus in 2022. Again, this is why I love what they've done with this overall universe that they've created, that they do so much, so many cool things and so many different things. And it's all under this one umbrella. Like, Cowl has a soundtrack. Radiant Black has a soundtrack. You know, I'm hoping Radiant Black gets more music from Sam Ewing, because, man, that music was just, oh, so good. Just absolutely love it. So, yeah, folks, Cowl Sessions, Radiant Black, all that good stuff. Radiant Black Volume 4, 2-in-1. Absolutely dig it. As always, any final thoughts from you, sir?
Nope, but I'm excited to read Radiant Pink. I'm going to have that on my nightstand.
absolutely. All right, folks, thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there's several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple, Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcasting client you choose to use. You can follow us on that horrible app called X at Geekcast Radio, at the Pullbag. I'm at TFG and Mike. Joe's not on the X anymore, I don't think.
No, I actually deleted my Twitter account. We'll call it Twix.
There you go.
But I am on Facebook at Geek Stuff Garage Sale. Good Lord, I forgot the name of my own thing. It's too close to Geekcast Radio. but we're definitely going to be doing another Geek Sale in September.
Awesome.
Lots of things to sell.
Very cool. Speaking of Facebook, you can check us out on Facebook, Geekcast Radio Network, as well as The Pullbag. And next time, as we said, Joe and I will be back 2 weeks in a row with the Radiant Pink trade. So we'll be talking about that next week. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Joe Reed.
As always, make your greatest game to comics.
Hold on a second, Mike.
Yeah.
There's a bee upstairs. Yeah. I think it's a fly.
No, I'm not kidding. I saw it.
It's a fly. It's I a saw bee. It too. Nobody's opened the door back there. It's a fly. We need to get a fly swatter. Unless you want to chase it around with that big piece of cardboard. Don't do that. That's dumb. No. I was joking. That's got Ninja Turtles on the other side of it.
What? Yeah, you don't want to use the Ninja Turtle fly swatter.
Don't use the Ninja Turtle banner. No.
No.
How's and while I'm able to shout at things, Oliver. Hey, Oliver. Go get busy.
Helping me.
Okay, take things out that are not yours.
And help me.
And help Eli. And feed the guinea pigs. Okay. Thank you. All right, I'm recording again. Don't open the door. Thank you, guys. Sorry.
Don't open the door.
He's lonely upstairs and wants to, like, find any reason he can to come down here. There's a bee. No, it's not a bee, dude. It's a fly, just like it was when you came home from school.
He's got a little brother to play with. He's got somebody that he can occupy his time with, play now, games.
The little one wants to bother the big one, which wants to be all by himself right now.
How old is Oliver now?
Oliver is 13.
Oh, well, yeah, he's just beginning his teen emo phase. Okay.
Yep, you got it.
Oh, boy. God, Oliver is 13.
Yep.
Eli's 7. My God.
Like first grade, reading big books.
God, Lord. I know they're your children, but I feel old just thinking about how long. Oh, my God. All right.
It's his diapers I changed as an adult are driving.
Infernal technical difficulties, and just when the show is getting interesting.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
Block it out and power on through.